the field of boundless emptiness. The field of boundless emptiness is what exists from the very beginning. You must purify, cure, grind down, or brush away all the tendencies you have fabricated into apparent habits. Then you can reside in the clear circle of brightness. So I thought today I would talk about effort. Being in the Soto school as Boundless Way Zen is, we have a tendency to talk about faith. And this is one of the strengths of our lineage, in my view. Is our recognition that no matter what arises, it is the way. It is all empty. So in a sense, the content of our experience doesn't matter. And in this kind of boundless faith, we can find our home. And I think that there's a shadow side to this that we should recognize, something to be awake to. The shadow is that we begin to think that everything is it, so it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter what I do on the cushion. It doesn't matter what happens here in the Zendo. It's all it, so who cares? Let's just go eat ice cream. And this is a real thing. This is a real trap. In Boundless Way Zen, we are a school that is informed by three lineages, actually. Soto, which is real attention to forms and just kind of having faith in the presence that we embody as we fall away into these forms. Then there is our Harada Yasutani koan school that is a really wonderful kind of check on our practice. And I've been speaking about koans lately, the last few talks I've given. And then there is our Korean sun, the word for Zen. And this tradition is in the related to the Rinzai tradition. This is a school of practice that one associates more often with a kind of effort. This is the kind of school where we hear about people chanting all night long out on their lonely hill, calling out moo to the universe. Single-minded focus on a koan, looking to break through the gateless barrier to awakening. We don't speak too often about this aspect of our school. And we do tend to emphasize faith because there is something oceanic and beautiful that we can float in, that we come to experience simply through the practice of sitting. But again, there is this shadow side that our practice can become kind of mushy. Just kind of a like, yeah, whatever sort of practice. You know, we come here. We come to sit together because we do feel the power of this practice. We come week after week, some of us driving some distance, you know, to come and sit together. We make an effort to be here. We must know that there is something happening. We recognize that though everything is it, there is something required of us. To realize that everything is it, or we would not come. There is the story of the Buddha. Before he is awake, struggling with his practice, erring on the side of asceticism. When he hears the story of the musician, tightened the teacher speaking to a student, tighten the string too much, it will break. Don't tighten it enough, you will hear no music. And I think that in our school, we focus a lot on not tightening too tight. But we have to have some tension in our practice, some intention in our practice. How do we manifest this intention? Well, a moment more about why. We all know we live in a world where we are just, the world is on fire. We are possessed by so much desire, so much rampant consumerism. For example, that we are actually destroying our planet. This is the state of affairs. Our minds divide the world into self and other. And this happens through the great power of language, part of its beauty. The way we conceptualize the world by habit, it is so easy to slip into these dualistic ways of perceiving self and other and to have no idea that we are even doing it. This is the power of a habit mind, the power of culture to draw us in, to nurture our desires. We are surrounded by commercials. We are surrounded by people caught in longing, caught in anger, ignorance. Are three poisons, so to speak, quite present in us as a society. And we are swimming in this. When we swim in it, we take it in. It is the manifestation of our human mind. And to recognize this is extremely important. Dogen, a founder of the Soto school, was a rigorous practitioner of Zazen. And clearly stated that it is very important for us to awaken. This awakening is to our delusions. This is how we practice. To be awake that we are thinking. This is not the same as just coming here and thinking about stuff. There is a difference, and we need to name that. And it requires swimming upstream. The force of our culture, the force of our habit minds are strong. And we have to be awake to this prevalence and swim upstream. Now, the place where this effort can become problematic is if we imagine that we are going to stop these things from happening. Now we start getting into repression, and we can create greater suffering for ourselves. The mind is going to continue secreting thoughts just the same as our liver secretes enzymes and our lungs secrete breath. This is part of being human. So to try to repress these things is pointless. But to be awake to the functioning of our mind is extraordinarily important. Otherwise, we are just swept along in it. and we continue to feed our ignorance, our anger, our longing, and we perpetuate the suffering in the world. So our practice is to find that middle point, not cutting anything off, but being awake to what is here. To know that thinking is, in fact, thinking. That it is not some reality that exists outside of us. That the nature of reality is not to be divided into this and that. These are the functions of the mind. To see this clearly. So we talk about the three pillars of Zen. We talk about great faith. Everything is it. Everything that arises is the way. There are no obstacles. We talk about great doubt, which I associate a bit with our Rinzai aspect of our lineage. Don't believe anything you think. Everything we think is just thinking. Don't be fooled. And we talk about great effort. This practice does not happen by itself. We do, in fact, have to show up. We do have to pay attention. We have these beautiful inheritances that support us in this practice. None of us can do this alone. And so we have our beautiful forms. We should give ourselves to them. Let's not be sloppy. To really attend to these forms wakes us up. We should do our best, and we're going to screw it up. That's fine. The point is not to be perfect. 1,000 mistakes, 10,000 mistakes, one continuous mistake. And to really give it our best. We have our koan tradition always available to us in these Dharma talks, in our practice, if we are so inclined, as a way of testing ourselves. Are we truly awake to non-duality? Can we express it? And we have our practice, the Huado practice of questioning. Questioning gives rise to great doubt. Who am I? Am I really what I think I am? What is this? Can my thoughts possibly contain this? These beautiful Huado that we have inherited in our tradition. This beautiful practice of Shikantaza. Shikantaza, again, not just whatever. Shikantaza, embodied thinking. Awake practice. Awake thinking. Seeing thought as thought, not getting caught and swept and away in it. To really be here, to be here now, to be present to what is happening. Very different from repressing, but awake to what is here. So, kind of encouragement talk tonight. To speak to an aspect of our Dharma and our inheritance that I think is quite important, and that we we should not neglect.